Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Are you ready for the best real estate investing advice ever? Join Joe Fairless and today's successful real estate professional as they share it with you. Let's go.
A quick word from our sponsor. When you reach more people, your business grows. You probably already have enough content. Just turn that content into audio and increase your reach. Got a PowerPoint presentation? Make it an audiobook. If you're more ambitious, then create your own podcast. But it's not just about reach. I learned that the hard way. It's about quality reach. When I first started the Best Ever Show, it sounded, well, I'll let you decide.
And from an insurance standpoint, based on your...
And now, after partnering with the team at 24 Sound, it sounds a lot better, right? Email 24 Sound at hello@24sound.com and mention Best Ever for a 20% discount on your first product. Hello, Best Ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless, and I'm here with today's guest, Bob Berg. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Joe. Great to be with you.
Great to have you on the show. And Bob is joining us from Jupiter, Florida. But more importantly, he is a best-selling author. He has authored 4 books. One of them I am completely obsessed with, and another one I'm about to get obsessed with. Let's see your 4 books. The first one, Endless Referrals. The next one, which is what we'll focus on primarily on this during this conversation, is The Go-Giver. Then you have Go Givers Sell More, and then your newest book. Congratulations on that. Is Adversaries Into Allies, Win People Over Without Manipulation or Coercion. Love the topic and very straightforward. And about The Go-Giver real quick, The Go-Giver actually climbed to number 6 on the Wall Street Journal's bestsellers list. And it's published in more languages than I knew existed, 21 languages, and is his 4th book to sell over 250,000 copies. So really grateful to have you on the show, Bob. And can you tell the Best Ever listeners a little bit about your background? And one thing I noticed in all of your books, and clearly this doesn't take a rocket scientist to notice this, but that they're all influence and sales focused. So can you tell a little bit about why that is a topic that you write about the most?
Sure. Well, my background, I began in broadcasting and graduated very quickly into sales. I knew nothing about sales when I began, so I floundered for a while, as would be expected, and began to come across books, great books on sales. This is now 30, 35 years ago. Books like Tom Hopkins' How to Master the Art of Selling and Zig Ziglar's books, and began to really study the masters. Anything I could get my hands on regarding selling, I studied. And in a very, very quick period of time, my sales went through the roof. And the big difference was having a system. I define a system simply as the process of predictably achieving a goal based on a logical and specific set of how-to principles. The key being predictability. If it's been proven that by doing A, you'll get the desired result of B, then you know that all you need to do is A and do A consistently and persistently enough, and you'll get the desired results of B. So eventually I worked my way up to sales manager of a company and then began teaching others how to do this, and it morphed into a speaking career. As far as influence and selling being topics that sort of seem to come up in my writing. Yeah, very, very true, because really it's all about influence when you think of it. To understand that, we need to simply understand what influence is. On a very, very basic level, influence can be defined simply as the ability to move a person or persons to a desired action, usually within the context of a specific goal. On a bit deeper level, we could say that influence is an unseen flow of power. And, while both those definitions are literally correct, I don't think either one captures the essence of what influence is. Really, influence is pull. It's an attraction. Great influencers attract people to themselves and to their ideas, and they do this not through pushing them. You don't hear people say, "Why that Joe? He is so influential. He has a lot of push." He has a lot of pull. It's an attraction. Great influencers attract people to themselves and to their ideas. They do this not through being pushy or pushing themselves or their ideas. They do this through pull. One reason I believe it's so important to be able to influence is because really, when you think of it, You can possess practically all the success attributes there are. You can be very talented and of high character. You can be ambitious, kind, charitable, hardworking, thrifty, and energetic. You can have a knack for numbers and a head for business. You can be creative and much, much more. And all that's great. Joe, it's terrific to have all those. However, unless you can influence others, move people again to the desired action and do so in a way that benefits everyone concerned, you're not going to be able to reach the level of success and especially sustainable success that you desire.
And I think that probably leads us into the go-giver topic, where the book's all about shifting the focus from getting to giving. And is that the key to, as you were mentioning earlier, having influence that pulls and attracts and reaches outcomes that benefits everyone? Or are there more things to that?
No, you said it very well. I mean, when you think of it, great leaders, great influencers know that they accomplish great things with others. And the best leaders, the best, let's put it this way. Great leadership is never about the leader. Great influence is never about the influencer, and great salesmanship is never about the salesperson. It's always about the other person. It's being focused. And when we say shifting our focus from getting to giving, absolutely. But let's understand what giving means in this case. When we say giving, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing value to others. And it doesn't matter what position you're in. It doesn't matter what kind of business you're in. It doesn't matter what you're selling. The other, and I say this a lot when I begin a conference, when I speak at a sales or leadership conference, I'll say, nobody is going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet. They're not going to buy from you because you need the sale. They're not going to buy from you because you really think they should, that it will be best for them. No. They're going to buy because they believe that doing so is going to be profitable to them. Yeah, and that's why that's exactly why they should. Now, the good thing, and which is why true free enterprise is always so great for the consumer, is because it's all about the consumer. We've got to be able to please the other person in order to profit, which is the way it should be. And it's also why the outstanding attribute of a free market-based sale or transaction is that both parties come away from the transaction better off than they were before, because they both have traded something they want less for something they want more. But it's up to the influencer or the salesperson to make sure that their focus is on providing value to that other person. That's what's going to begin the process.
I think we might have already touched on it, but I'm going to ask you the question anyway. What is your best investing advice ever for real estate investors? Or let me rephrase that. What is your best advice ever for real estate investors?
Well, you know, I mean, that's not my area of expertise specifically. So for me to give specific advice wouldn't be appropriate. However, I can definitely give this advice. Learn from those who've already done it.
Yes.
Follow the system, the process of predictably achieving a goal, right? And so that's why people like you are so very important, because you help guide in the process with a system that has already been proven.
Yes. And I meant to ask you, what is your best advice for real estate investors versus what is your best investing advice for real estate investors? And yeah, that makes sense. Having a system, because your advice is applicable to any industry. And that's why I love it so much. That, and it makes a whole lot of sense, because whenever we do give more, we focus on constantly, consistently adding value to others, there's just the universe of reciprocity just comes back our way. I'd love to hear any specific examples that you've come across, because as you mentioned, you were a student of this before you started writing about it, and while you were actively in sales and your sales grew exponentially.
And I'm still a student of it.
And you're still a student of it. Absolutely. You're a student and a teacher. And what are some specific examples, or a specific example of somebody in the real world implementing this and achieving success?
Well, you know, it was interesting soon after the Go Giver first came out. And what was interesting to us was that the early adapters, if you will, of the book, the ones who bought it first, were not the ones who necessarily needed it. These are the people who are already living their lives and conducting their business this way, and they tended to be very, very successful. But what they did is they would give the book to a lot of people, or promote the book to a lot of people, whether it's in their organization or people they were mentoring or what have you. So it was after that that we really began getting emails from people who, and there's one in particular, I just loved this story. He was out of the Pittsburgh area, and it was really during the financial crisis that was really taking place in his business, and it was a roofing business. And it had really gone downhill. And he read the book, he read The Go-Giver, and he said, okay, this is what I need to do. I need to shift my focus. It's not about me and how bad my business is right now. It's not about how much I need. It's what kind of value. How do I best communicate value to the customer as they understand it to be of value? And his business just absolutely turned around. And, you know, I love hearing those stories. And we get them quite a bit, and we never get tired of them. There was a woman, named Amy from San Antonio, who had a bridal shop. And I've gotten to know her since then, so I know the story more. But she actually first heard this when I spoke at an event where she lives in San Antonio. And I was talking to her about, or not to her, but to the group, about not trying to sell on low price, but rather selling on value. You know, when you sell on low price, when you sell on price, you're a commodity.
Yep.
When you
yep.
sell on value, you're a resource. So what you don't want to do is try to play the game of you know, who can sell at the lowest price. You're going to go out of business, or you're not going to enjoy your business. You're not going to be able to service the sale. Instead, think of what the value is you provide through your product or service, and how, most importantly, the customer. You know, I always say value is always in the eyes of the beholder. It's not what we believe is of value or what we think they should feel is of value. It's what they feel is of value. So she was in a business where it was very discount oriented. And she made a decision after that from that point on, they were going to sell at full price, but they were really going to better communicate the value they provided. And so, you know, they went through it. She and her team went through an entire process and exercise of better understanding their value. You know, you've got to believe in your own value before you can charge for it. And then what they also did is they went out and they asked those people who were already their loyal customers and clients, what is it about us that you enjoy the most? You know, why do you work with us rather than the competition? Why do you? And they really came to understand this. So they began to just terrifically communicate their value. And in 6 months, her store was doing $10,000 a month more net. And so she continued to do this, and the profit margin got, or the profit of the store, it was higher. And then what happened from there is their business became just about all referral.
Wow.
Yeah. And here's the kicker. People would come into their store and not even ask about a discount, because they were already now told by their personal walking ambassadors, you know, by the people who love doing business with that store, with Amy and her crew, don't even bother asking for the discount. You're not going to get it, but you're going to love the experience and the results. So they then began to really teach their customers and clients how to be good customers and clients.
They move from a commodity, as you mentioned, to a valued resource.
Yeah, absolutely. You said that perfectly. Absolutely.
And that you mentioned some interesting things that I want to very quickly touch on with, you know, you mentioned earlier constantly and consistently providing value to others, but then you just went through a specific example of how a company can do that. And you talked about how that company in particular first started identifying, okay, what is it that we bring to the table of value? And okay, we think it's valuable, and here's why, but who cares? It's really about our customer and right. What do they think of the value of what we provide? And let's talk to them a little bit. And I think that is so practical for real estate investors to practice whenever they're creating their company, whether it's wholesalers or what I do, raise money and buy apartment communities. I mean, we can look at our business and we can say, okay, here's the acquisition fee. Here's what we should be charging. Here's the assignment fee if we're wholesaling. Here's the asset management, whatever it is. And then we can look at, one, the competition, because I do think that's important, as I'm sure you would agree, looking at the competition and what they're doing, and then taking a look at, okay, let's talk to our consumer, let's talk to our customer, let's talk to our potential investor, and let's get an idea of what they think about this business and the business model, and then we can position our company accordingly so that we're not competing on prices and being a commodity, and rather we're competing in another level like Apple does, where they don't compete on price. They compete on lifestyle. They compete on the perceived value that they're bringing to the table, because nobody else is doing it and performing the way they're performing.
Exactly. And now it's at the point, of course, when they announce a product, people are standing in line.
Boom. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, and the people who work at Apple, you know, if you go to one of the stores, you know, at the mall, they love being there. You know, it's a wonderful atmosphere. It's just a totally great experience.
It reminds me of whenever I started out on my own 2 years ago after, you know, my advertising industry career. And I created my first company and it absolutely flopped. I spent $3,000 on a website, and my focus was going to be to consult college students and young professionals to help them climb the ranks in the advertising, marketing, or PR career, because I achieved a lot of success in a very relatively short amount of time. But what I did not do is speak to my target customer and ask them if this would be something of value, or quite frankly, if they could pay for it. And they turns out they couldn't pay for it because they didn't have a job or they were still trying to climb the ladder. And it was kind of a catch 22. And my next business, the apartment investing business, I talked to some of my potential investors prior to even having the business, and I had demand before I had supply.
Yes.
And that is the, if you can have demand before you have supply, then do that business.
Exactly.
Are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Oh, let's do it.
A quick word from our best ever sponsor. Best ever listeners, if you want to grow your business, you need an audio product. Contact 24Sound at 24sound.com for a free consultation. And remember, you'll get 20% off your first product just by mentioning Best Ever. Best ever book you've read.
Okay. Can I make a disclaimer here?
Absolutely.
There are so many amazing books I've read that it's hard to cut, you know, and then you got the different topics. You can't
kill my show format though, Bob.
Okay. All right. Then, Peace, Power, and Plenty by Orison Swett Marden, written in 1900.
Okay. Fair enough. And how come you picked that one?
It is such an amazing, amazing book. Orison Swett Marden is the person many call the father of the personal development movement. And he's actually the founder of Success Magazine. But he wrote lots and lots of books and pamphlets back around the turn of the century. It's absolutely, you talk about everything we read about in the personal development, you know, genre, you can find in his book. And he says it so amazingly. Wow. I mean, and I have one of the original, you can still get his book, but by this time it's republished by people. So it looks more modern. I have one of the old original, collectors versions of the book. So I don't even write inside the book. All my notes, and I've got tons of them on every page, are with yellow stickies because I can't justify writing in that book itself.
Wow. I will be getting that book. Thank you for that recommendation. I haven't heard of that yet. And now I have, and now I'm going to read it.
And think of it, Peace, Power, and Plenty. It's everything to be part of a happy life, you know, peace, which is really personal peace, peace of mind, power, which is really living to our potential, and plenty, abundance. It's beautiful.
Best ever listeners, I know you like audio, so you can get a book like that, probably not that book, although it might be up there, at freebesteverbook.com. Okay, Bob, what's the best ever personal growth experience and what you learned from it?
I would say it's when a wizened old business veteran who was about to retire, and this was at a company I was working with, and he kind of saw me as an up-and-comer who didn't quite have his priorities in the right place. And he said to me, Berg, if you want to make a lot of money in selling, he said, don't have making money as your target. Your target should be serving your customers. If you hit the target, you'll get a reward. The reward will be money, and you can do with that whatever you want. But realize that the money is not the target. It's only the reward for hitting the target. The target is serving others.
Wow. And that advice obviously resonated with you and in your writing.
Yeah, and that's basically law number one, the law of value in the book, The Go-Giver, is kind of based on that statement.
Best ever success habit you practice?
I would say taking action. It's interesting that Robert Ringer, who's a best-selling author from the 70s, who's still in the business, still in the game, and he's just a brilliant, brilliant guy. He once said to me, he gave me one of the nicest compliments. We went back and forth on something. We were talking about a different project, and I had done something, and he said, Bob, I really like how you have a bias toward action is what he said, a bias toward action. And I thought that's a great compliment because, you know, it's one thing to have the thought, the idea, the intent, but we know is until we put action into the mix, nothing's going to happen. That's why, you know, people who haven't read The Go-Giver, they'll say, so are you saying we shouldn't be a go-getter? No, you've got to be a go-getter. Be a go-getter and the go-giver. Just don't be a go-taker.
Mm-hmm.
because the go taker is focused only on themselves. They're not focused on bringing value to others.
Best ever reason why you wrote Adversaries into Allies, Win People Over Without Manipulation or Coercion.
Because I believe it was the book I was meant to write, and it's a book that above all else, with all the studying on the topic I've ever done and the utilizing of the information, it's probably the biggest ongoing lesson I learned from my dad, and that is really how to be focused on bringing value to others and make other people feel genuinely good about themselves, about the situation, and about you. And I've always said, the best people skill is a genuine and authentic interest in the other person. And that's really what I've learned from my dad. So this book is really my way of carrying on my dad's legacy.
What's a way that you found to be successful, to connect with someone that you recently met or just met, say a marketing or a networking event, and start building that rapport with that person? From what you've learned.
Okay, here is a very, very powerful way. Few will do this, but the ones who do it and do it consistently, it will make a huge difference in their ability to make a good connection with people. And that is send a personalized, handwritten thank you note immediately afterwards. Not an email, though emails are great. Not connecting on social media, though that's certainly great as well. I do that all the time. But a personalized handwritten note. I even have a note card that I devise that I use that I recommend to others. If people would like to see what it looks like, they can go to burg.com/note card, one word, and they can model it after mine if they'd like. But the only difference is instead of putting your books on the top of it, you'll have your, you'll have what you do, but it's basically, it's 8.5 by 3 inches. So it fits into a number 10 envelope. While it has your contact information, there's lots and lots of room to write the note, because even the note itself is not about you. It's about them. And in blue ink, because blue ink is a friendly color. It's a color that shows it was handwritten. You simply write, hi Dave or hi Mary or however the relationship's been established. Thank you. It was a pleasure meeting you at the so-and-so event. If I can ever refer business your way, I certainly will. If that came up in the conversation, it's not about yourself. It's always about them. Put it inside a number 10 envelope, handwrite in blue ink, the person's name and address, put a regular or oversized stamp, commemorative stamp on it, not a meter machine, and you send that out that day, that person will treasure that note.
How do you ask for the address if you met somebody in person? I mean, because that's not a typical thing to say. And I imagine one aspect of that being such a wow moment for the recipient is that it's unexpected joy.
Sure.
And it also breaks through. So if you ask for their address, it might tip your hand. So how do you do that?
Oh, just ask for their business card.
Yes. Duh.
And remember, by the way, if for some reason they don't have one or their address isn't on their card, just go to whitepages.com and the chances are you can, you'll be able to find their address. Or if you know where they work, because you've said, what do you do? And well, I'm a so-and-so at so-and-so, you look that up. So the good news, it's pretty easy to find that information if it's not right on their card. And of course, use good judgment. You don't want to come across like you're stalking the person, But by and large, all things being equal, you've had a conversation with the person, you get a quick conversation, you get their business card, you've got their address, and you send a nice note.
What's the biggest mistake you've made in business?
I think it was being slow to change, especially when it came to technology. I think in the late 90s, as things were really starting to move over into technology, not technology focused, because to me it's always people focused, but the technology is a tool. I really, because I'm not the most technically oriented person in the world, and I'm not the quickest to change. I think I got left behind a little bit, and it took me time to catch up. So that was a mistake. Seeing something that I should have done and should have taken the time to learn how to get comfortable with, and I didn't.
And Bob, what's the best ever place to reach you?
Really just burg.com, B-U-R-G.com. Pretty much everything is there that a person could want to know about me, and probably stuff they don't want to know about me.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show with the Best Ever Listeners and giving your timeless advice on how to, I'm going to say, approach life, my friend. I don't even think it's specific to business. I think it's just a life lesson to, to shift the focus from getting to giving. I think that's powerful stuff. And I am wholeheartedly grateful to have you on the show. I'd like to do something. Let me think. How about if, for the first five best ever listeners who, and I've never done this, Bob, by the way, so I'm kind of just making it up right now. The first five best ever listeners to tweet, their favorite quote from this episode to both, Bob and I, I'll buy you the book, Go Giver, and also buy you his new book, Adversaries and the Allies, Win People Over Without Manipulation or Coercion. So first five people that tweeted us, once this show goes live, I'll get your info and I'll send you a copy of each book. So thank you so much, Bob, for being on the show. I am so grateful, like I mentioned, and is there anything, just to wrap up, is there anything that we did not talk about that you'd like to talk about?
No, I think you covered it all beautifully. Terrific. Thank you so much for having me on. It was a real pleasure.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All righty.
Hey, you, best ever listener. Do you want more? Then head to joefairless.com, where there are tons of free videos, templates, and content to help you get deals done. And if you want Joe to personally help you reach your goals, then go to the Work with Joe tab on joefairless.com and apply to, well, Work with Joe.